a lot of others were also like, whoa, you know, that doesn't exist. It's not really a problem. It's all in your head, I guess. Just kind of didn't know what to accept.
That's Samantha Cunningham, or Sam. Some friends and family were skeptical when she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at 16. Even the first psychiatrist she went to failed to identify the illness properly.
I was misdiagnosed as just, you know, you have depression, that's it, it's no big deal. And because of that, they put me on an antidepressant, and without a mood stabilizer, being bipolar, it doesn't really balance it out. So I went into my first manic episode, which was, you know, gosh, that was intense. It was just kind of being zombied out and not eating and not sleeping. And I know my mom didn't sleep during that time either. But geez, I went through tons of medication before finding the right one, at least, I guess, 20 different, more than that probably, combinations. And I finally found the right medicine, and oh my gosh, it's so nice to be stable.
According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, at least 10 million Americans are bipolar. And it can be difficult to diagnose because it's characterized by two intense and shifting emotional states: mania, which can be experienced as excessive irritability or euphoria, and depression. But sitting with Sam, now 23, and her mom Cynthia, it's hard to imagine that first manic episode where Sam didn't sleep or eat and experienced hallucinations for 6 days straight. I wonder what it was like for Cynthia to see her daughter have to confront mental illness.
Cynthia, how did you feel as a parent, you know, seeing your daughter adjust to being bipolar and then also having to share it with other people as well?
As a mother, it's very helpless because you see your child dealing with something major in their life and you understand it's going to be with her the rest of her life. So that was hard to accept. But as we were educating ourselves, trying to just keep her in school and get her to graduate, I was having to educate the schools and the staff there because they aren't educated on mental illness. And we all had to pull together and learn together to work as a team to help her graduate, which it was very hard, but we made it.
Cynthia's first indication that Sam might have a mental illness came when Sam confided that she had been cutting herself. She scoured the internet and books for information about her daughter's condition, but found that the most useful information came from talking with other families who had had the same experiences. She made those connections through NAMI, and now she's the executive director of the national organization's WACO chapter. One of the biggest barriers she's found for helping people get treatment or even be diagnosed is the shame that continues to surround mental illness.
It's still something that people that have it or have a loved one with it feel like they need to hide in shame, and it's not. And I really feel like they say 1 in 4 have a mental illness, but that's without everybody speaking up. I think if everybody was to finally speak up, it would probably be 1 in 2, and we would get more help, recognition, and support from our fellow man.
Sam says there's more awareness about bipolar disorder now than when she was first diagnosed. But she and Cynthia have both been disappointed in the way the media covers mental illness because it's usually perpetrators of destruction or mass shootings, like those in Aurora, Newtown, and Tucson, that take center stage, leaving little room for success stories. Beyond different media representations, though, I wanted to know what they thought could be done to change the conversation around mental illness.
What do you think it's going to take for mental illness to be basically remove some of that stigma and have open conversations about it?
I would say definitely it needs to be more integrated into schools, because if you start out young teaching people that, hey, this isn't a bad thing. It's a disease just like any other, just like, I guess, cancer, HIV, anything like that. It's treatable. And if you get the help early on, it's really beneficial to your future. And so I would say definitely, more, I guess, involvement in schools and things like that.
NAMI's willing to come to, speak to 2 people, to 200 people, to just really get that education. And that's the main key, is that it's a stigma because it's something unknown. And so if we can really get people educated and to understand it's a disease of the brain that affects a behavior. And so once we get that education there, then people, they might not shun their coworker when they see that person acting a little odd. They might instead go up to them and say, hey, is something going on that I can help with, and show compassion. And so that education brings that.
For KWBU, I'm Becky Fogle.